I'd love to hear that family sing. That's wonderful, isn't it? Praise the Lord. It's good to have you today with us. And I want you to take the Word of God this morning. We're going to be in different portions of Scripture this morning. But if I was to title this message, I would title this way, Do You Hear What You're Thinking? Do you hear what you're thinking? I draw your attention with three thoughts and building. Now, I want you to notice, first of all, the nature of the heart. So turn to Mark 7. Secondly, I'm going to deal with the need of going to war. Now, let me tell you something, folks. The Christian life's not a playground. It's a battleground. And the sooner we realize that, the more we're going to be able to live the Christian life. And thirdly, the necessity of getting biblical help to handle the heart problem. The heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. Father, I'd ask that you would do a work in our hearts today and speak and stir for Jesus' sake and for His glory. Amen. Now notice Mark 7, verse 21 and 22. Here you see the nature of the heart. Now the heart is what I call the citadel of our humanity. By that, man, that is the kind of the brain center where everything's going to be coming out of. And I draw your attention. Now, verse 21 and 22, if you count them, you will find 13 sins of the heart. Now, in the Bible, 13 is the number of rebellion. That pretty well pictures man. Man, by the very nature he has, I want you to notice here, The problem of the heart is seen here in this list. Now notice this, for from within and out of the what? Out of the what? The heart of man. Now get this, the very first thing on the list proceedeth what? Evil thoughts. See, the trouble with the heart, you see in the problem of the heart here, there are 13 listed, but the very first one that is listed there is evil thoughts. Now think with me and put there, if you want to just mark this or if you want to turn here with me, you can go to the book of Proverbs for just a moment, chapter 23. For I not only see the nature of the heart dealing with its problem, but I notice its pictures. Look there in chapter 23 in verse 7. For as he thinketh where? As he thinketh where in his heart. What's the Bible say? So are you. If you want to know what your heart looks like, take a look at your thoughts. Because your heart, your thoughts are going to reveal what your thoughts are going to reveal what your heart's all about. It's a picture. Your thought life is a picture of your heart. Now that's kind of scary. I thought if we would, we praise God we can't do that, but just pick somebody at random in the congregation and going to put all their thoughts they thought this last week on this screen here, the bad, evil thoughts, I think we'd be in trouble, wouldn't we? All right? So we see here, and I draw you, now, I think of our thoughts, the wrong thoughts. How many besides me have had wrong thoughts? The rest of you are lying to yourself. All right, now, I categorize these groups. I want to deal here with three kinds of wrong thoughts that flow from the heart that are in your thinking process. First one I like to call jail keepers. Jail keepers. You know what a jail is? A jail is where prisoners are. Now listen, there are a lot of people that are in captivity because their thoughts are their jail keepers. I can think of two areas down through the years. I don't know how many people I have dealt with who get involved in pornography. And they are literally in jail in their thought life. And that is, listen, if you just look again back there at chapter 7 of Mark, look here, verse 21 again, for within, out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts. And then he says, adulteries and fornications. That's in the plural. That's just one thought. And so he deals here with those jail keepers, those people that are addicted to wrong kinds of thought. I mean, literally, they have got a hold on them. I think another one is bitterness. Bitterness is, look over there in chapter. Anybody here ever murder anybody? Bible says whoever what? Hateth someone, same as what? Committed murder. You look again, chapter 7 of Mark's gospel. If you look there, what's the last word there in verse 21 of chapter 7 of Mark? What is it? Murders. Have you ever murdered somebody? I've got news for you. A lot of people, God's people, are murdering or murderers because they have bitterness in their heart. They have that bitterness, and it has literally got a hold of them. It's an addiction, and they're in jail. I'm reminded of the story of a man who years ago, he got a lot of medicines for these things he got bit by a dog, and he had rabies. The doctor said, look, he said, I've got news for you. You better set your house in order. He said, you're going to die. He said, could I have a piece of paper, please? Doctor gave him a piece of paper, and he noticed he was writing. He said, what are you doing? He said, I'm writing down all the names of all the people I want to bite before I die. Now, that's bitterness. Now, we laugh at that. But I know a lot of people today that are in jail in their thought life by the things and many other things that I don't have time to deal with. Jealousy. I mean, it's got a hold of them. I've seen people just literally, it's got such a hold of them, they don't know what to do if they're in jail. My prayer is that we break out of jail today. You don't need to be in jail with your thought life. And again, keep in mind, if you want to know what your heart looks like, just think about your thought life. Then I second group I call javelin throwers. Javelin throwers. Remember what, turn to Psalm 55. That second group. I call the first one the jail keepers, those thoughts. But when you go over to the book of Psalm, turn over there to chapter 55, if you will, please, the Psalm, because I think about, remember what Saul did to David? What was he throwing at him? What was he throwing at him? A javelin. You know, we don't do that today literally, but I think we do it with words and thoughts. It's there. When I go over there to chapter 55, David is writing this psalm, and he's talking about javelin throwers. And you look at verse 12 there, and he's talking about those who have been out to get him. I mean, they had a war was going on in the heart of these people against David. Look at verse 12. He said, for it was not an enemy that reproached me, that I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, my equal, my guide, my acquaintance. And by the way, that's what a fellow Christian is. He's your helper. He's your friend who took sweet counsel together and walked in the house of God in company. There are people who come to church Sunday after Sunday and hardly speak to somebody else in the congregation because they're javelin throwers. They're javelin throwers. May I say to you today, look at verse 21. Talking about the same people, the words of his mouth were what? Smoother than butter. Did you ever have somebody do that? Just in front of you, just talk to you and say sweet things, and you're wondering what's in their hand because they're probably trying to put a knife in your back. Look at the verse. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords, javelin throwers. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. In other words, thank God for his protection from those. So you have the jail keepers. There are Christians sitting in pews across America today and around the world. They got a problem today because they've got some things that have, they're in jail. They're not free. Isn't it great to be free today? I was thinking how wonderful it is to be free in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I got news for you. There's a lot of people that aren't free. They are literally bound by those things. Then those javelin throwers. Boy, they can just cast darts. Do you ever have somebody look at you like they're looking right through you? I mean, their eyes speak a message. They just don't like you. How many have ever been there before? I want to tell you something. It's an uncomfortable feeling. The third one I like to think about is joy stealers. We not only have jail keepers, we not only have javelin throwers, but we have joy stealer thoughts. Turn with me and back in the New Testament and turn over there to Matthew's Gospel. Matthew chapter 6, turn over there for a moment. And when you come to Matthew chapter 6, I draw your attention to this. Look over there in Matthew chapter 6, looking beginning here at verse 25. Now here are the joy stealer. These are the thoughts that cause doubt and worry. I want to tell you that, well, maybe that may be the great biggest group right there. That may be the biggest group. I mean, look at the Bible here. Look at verse 25. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. In other words, don't have an anxiety attack. Don't have an anxiety attack. And then he talks about our provision. God's going to take care of us. Look, he said, take no thought for your life, what you will eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. It is not life more than the meat and the body, the raiment. Now, it doesn't mean that you have a welfare attitude. But I'm too. If you're doing right and living for the Lord, he's going to take care of you. You believe that today? God's going to take care of you. And so we see here the provisions needed for life. You don't need to worry. God's going to take care of you. If you do right and you live right, God's going to take care of you. He not only talks about the provisions for life, but he talks about the problems that fill our life. Look there in verse 27. Things we can't do anything about. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to a stature? Now, I got news for you. I do not like anything about my size. Isn't that a terrible thing to say? Particularly this. I can do something about that. But I got news for you. I wear a 31 length pants. I'd rather wear a 30 or a 32 because 31, you can't hardly get them. My sleeve length is not 34 or 35. Guess what it is? 34 and a half. I mean, that's the skirt. My waist size is none of your business. But the size that I get, you can't buy them. You just can't do it. Now, I can't do anything about that. Why am I going to worry about it? We laugh at the thing that I just told you, but it's some of the silliest things we worry about. We worry about this. We fill our life with things that he said in verse 27, which of you by taking one thought can add one cubit into your stature? I could think, oh, listen, I'd like for these arms to be a little longer or a little shorter. I'd like just to be a little taller, a little shorter. Can't do anything about it. Why am I going to worry about it? Hello? And some of you are ugly and you can't do anything about that either. Some of you are pretty and, you know, so forth. I mean, talking about all of I'm just kidding that part. I'll get that. Come on, laugh with me. Help me out here. Notice what he says here. And we take no thought. Look at verse 20. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lily of the valleys. Isn't a lily beautiful? Did you ever see a lily have an anxiety attack? God takes care of the lilies of the field. He'll take care of us. He'll take care of you. We just daily feel our life. Oh, what's going to happen? Oh, I don't know if I'm going to make it or not. God will take it. You know, why are we worrying? You come down here to the last verse. So he talks about, you don't worry because the provisions of life will be supplied. But some people are filling their lives with problems that they can't do anything about. And then he talks about the future in verse 34. Look at verse 4. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow. Now look at this. Underline this thought here with you. Today is God's word. Tomorrow's the devil's word. There are no tomorrows in our lives. You say, wait a minute. Tomorrow comes. Yeah, when it comes, it'll be today. But you know, too many of us are living in tomorrows. The future. We can't... Listen, sufficient is the evil for what? Today. Thank the Lord for today. Because God will meet the needs today. So here we have the nature of the heart. Here we see its problems. We see its portraits. We see those three groups of thoughts that come out of our heart, those jailkeeper thoughts. I often ask myself this, and that put me under conviction one day. What am I thinking when I'm not thinking? Now, what do you mean by that? I mean, what are those thoughts that come into your heart when you're not concentrating on something? What are they? Isn't that a good question? It's a good question. Now, secondly, we saw those javelin throwers. I don't know how many times. Listen, I don't know how many times I've had to deal in 44 years in counseling people who couldn't get along. I don't mean just married couples. I mean people in the church. I had a couple in our church, had a lady in our church that got mad at another lady, and the lady evidently said something that the lady didn't like, and I dealt with that for 2 years of my life with these two ladies. The one lady asked forgiveness I don't know how many times. She said, how do I know she really means it? And finally, they left the church and went to 2 or 3 other churches. Just keep going around because they can't get it. Listen, folks. And she was literally in a jail. She wasn't afraid. Listen, I got news for you. I refuse to get bitter at people because I don't want anybody else controlling me. Listen, isn't it interesting? The people who control you are the people you don't like. I don't think I need that. Why am I going to do that? Now, I may love them, I may not love them, but I don't have to like them. Hello? Because they're just mean. Am I making any sense to you? I hope so. We got to be careful with you. Now, secondly, I not only see the nature of the heart, but I see the need of going to war. Now, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Turn there to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. The nature of the heart. 13 different things that come out of the heart. We grouped them to you in 3 different groups. But secondly, notice the need of going to war. Listen, I said it a few moments ago, I say it again. We are not, the world's not a playground, so it's a battleground. There's a battle going on. You know, we got too many Christians going AWOL. They're just leaving the battlefield. You can't leave the battlefield. You're in a battle. You got a war to fight, whether you like it or not. And Jesus Christ is the general, the commander. And when I come over there to 2 Corinthians 10, I find verse 4, 5, and 6, I find some truth that's really the need to go to war. Now, I see here, let's read the verses first. For the weapons of our what? Our what? And interesting, we're in a war. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That word carnal means they don't have to do with the flesh, with the body. You don't take a gun and shoot your thought lives. If you do, you're going to kill yourself. You realize that's not a physical battle. It's a spiritual battle. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. And then I want you to notice 3 thoughts here. There's the need of overthrowing, the need of overcoming, and the need of overpowering. These verses, he's going to talk about the need of overthrowing, overcoming, and overpowering your thoughts. First of all, I want you to notice here in verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God to the what? Pulling down. Now that word pulling down is literally to demolish. It's literally a military word. Demolition is the word there, demolition. It's the idea of setting it and just blowing it up. Now that's exactly what, by the way, you're involved in that decision. Because he's saying to you, you, me, John Stevens, you pull down those. And I'll got to help. Listen, how many things can you do through Christ Jesus? But you got to, listen. The first 5 words are dependent on the last 5 words. You got to be willing to do it. You got to say, I'm going to get in the battle. You're going to get in the battle. So here we realize, first of all, he deals with pulling down, in other words, overthrowing these strongholds, demolishing the hindrance to your walk with the Lord. and also destroying anything that's harmful to your worship. You need to demolish the hindering things that you keep you from walking with God and destroying the harmful things that interfere with your worship. Now leave that, for we're going to come back to it in a minute, but go over to Ezekiel chapter 8. You have an illustration of that. Ezekiel chapter 8. And over there in Ezekiel chapter 8, he deals here in verse 8 of 8, chapter 8. Then said to me, Son of man, dig down the wall. There was a wall here. And he said, I want you to dig in the wall, and behold, there's a door. That's kind of a strange thing. And he said, verse 9 to me, go in, and behold the wicked abominations that they do there. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping thing and abominable beast and all the what? All the what? The idols of the house of Israel. Portrayed upon the wall about roundabout. Let me tell you. Listen, these things, these wrong thoughts are like portraits on the walls in your thought life. Pictures. How do I know that? Well, I'm glad you asked me that question. Look over there in verse 12. Then said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? With no one watching. Boy, aren't you glad that they're not looking at your thought, but God is. Every man in the chambers of his what? Immaturity, his mind. For they say, the Lord seeth not, the Lord hath forsaken the earth. I got news for you. The Lord sees your thoughts. He sees my thought. He knows our thoughts. We need to understand that. We better start pulling those things down. We better start overthrowing these strongholds. I don't know how many times I've counseled with people and they come in and listen to me. I am sometimes shocked with what they tell me that's going on in their mind. They seem like such nice people, nice, well-dressed Christians come to church. While they're at church there, they're throwing javelin. Christians in the church. Or they're coming with, forgive me for saying this, but it's true, undressing the ladies. That ought to, I hope you get the content of that thought. Because of the thought life. Or they're sitting there worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow. That's the devil's day today. Is God's day. Now listen to me. This is as real as anything can be. So he says here, the overthrowing, the need of overthrowing these strongholds. Secondly, the need of overcoming high places. Now notice secondly, going back to our passage there in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Casting down what? Imagine. Where's your imagination? Where is it? Point to it, will you? Point the imagination. There it is. Where it is. So he not only wants you to overthrow the strongholds, he wants you to overcome the high places. Casting down. Now the word casting down literally means to treat with violence. Be ruthless. It's the only time in a Christian's life is he's to be ruthless is when his thought lights are wrong. Thought life is wrong. He said, I mean, it is also a military word here. And the idea is just get it. Listen, throw those pictures out. And then notice he not only deals here in this need of overcoming, not only with the casting down of these pictures, but he deals with two things, the pictures and the pride. What is the high thing? Notice the text there, and every what? High thing. That's pride. Yeah, but you don't understand. I need those thoughts. Shake your head like this, folks. You don't need those thoughts. You'd be surprised how many people, that is, their life is made up of wrong thought life, and some of them really enjoy it. It's got a hold of them. You realize this? I know some people that goodness, what would you like to not be bitter to somebody? I'm serious. Or to have a free mind, a clean, pure mind. Because of the mind. So we have here the overthrowing, the overcoming. There are two things in my life and your life that are the high things. You know what they are? Pride. You know what the other one is? The flesh. The flesh likes to do its own thing and does not want to be told what to do. You better wake up to that. You've got two things in your life. I've got two things in my life that just says nobody's going to tell me what to do. Your pride and your flesh. I say with all the dogmatism I can, cast them down. You not only to overthrow, but you are to overcome these things. The third one is this. Not only do we see the need of overthrowing, the need of overcoming, but thirdly, the need of overpowering. You say, wait a minute, preacher. How do I get rid? How do I listen? How can I listen? Look there in the rest of verse 5. And bringing into what? Captivity. Bringing into captivity every what? Every what? Thought to the obedience of Christ. Now the word captivity is a military. You know what it means? It means to make these prisoners of Christ. They're your enemies. In other words, the jail keepers, the javelin throwers, and the joy stealers need to be the prisoners of Jesus Christ. Now, let me tell you something. We're going to talk about this right now in closing here in a minute. Do not try to remove them. Pardon my grammar, it ain't going to happen. Because that brings us to the third one. Now, look here. We look here at the nature of the heart. We look, secondly, the need of overthrow, the need of going to war. Now we see the necessity of getting biblical help. Listen, yep. Listen, a person who has a wrong thought life has got to get some help. By the way, that's everybody in this room, including me. Every one of us have some problems with our thought life. Anybody here want to say otherwise, you're lying to yourself because that's pride. Not admitting it. Now, I want to give you some thoughts in closing. Number one, listen. You need some help? I need some help. Well, my thought life. Anyone here not need help in their thought life? I don't think so. I think we all do. Number one, realize you are in a spiritual battle, very first thing. I've said it now. This is the third time I'll say it to you. This world we live in is not a playground. It is a what? Say it with me loudly. Battleground. Say it again. It is a battleground. Until that becomes a reality, you're never going to overthrow, you're never going to overpower, you're never to overcome wrong thoughts. God wants you to say, listen, I'm in a war. I'm in a war. Realize you're in a spiritual battle. I'm thinking here of Ephesians 6. Isn't that a great chapter on the battles we're in here? You just might want to turn there real quickly to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. We're not doing a lot of time on that, but when I get over there to Ephesians chapter 6, just take a moment there. Notice what he says in verse 10 of chapter 6, Ephesians. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He talks about the warfare here. Realize you're in a battle. Secondly, not only do you realize you're in a spiritual battle, now get this, remove all hidden provisions of the flesh. Now, I failed to write down that reference, but I think I can get to it. Go to Romans. I know it's there. Chapter 13. Go to Romans. Very key verse here. Not only do we realize we're in a spiritual battle, but remove all hidden provisions. Listen, if you have a problem with the thought life when it comes to lust, then don't read the wrong books. Don't get things on the internet. Don't look at the television seeing things that are going to create this kind of an atmosphere. You understand what I'm saying? Look there in verse chapter 13, verse 14. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. The word provision comes from a Greek word which means forethought. Forethought. Listen, if I had a drinking problem, the worst thing I could do would be walking by the bars. Now, I have a chocolate problem, and my wife limits me on that. She's in the nursery. I could really have fun with this, but I'm going to move on. Sometimes she will hide chocolate, and I need chocolate about 3 and 4 in the morning. Anybody like that? I get up, and I can't find it. She hides it differently in different places almost every day. It's just enough to cause an anxiety attack. But seriously, you foresee the problem. You foresee it. Now, listen to me. Not only do we realize you're in a spiritual battle, remove all hidden provisions. Replace sinful thoughts with God's thoughts. Now, here it is. This is what I begin. Listen, it will not do you any good to try to remove wrong thoughts. It's the replacement principle that will only work. Did you ever try to remove a wrong thought? Have you ever been so upset with somebody that you just wanted to... Anybody here besides me? I have tried to remove that. Didn't work. God's given us two replacement principles. One, intercession, and one is meditation. Those are the two things he's done to remove those thoughts. He's given us, first of all, listen, you know what? The moment a thought comes into my mind about somebody that I'm having a problem with, what's the first thing I can do? Go to prayer. Right then. Right then. You know what that does? That replaces what you were thinking about. Because you what? Put E on who? The Lord Jesus. And your thoughts are going to be changing about that person. I thank God for the power of intercession. And I thank God, secondly, for the power of meditation. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, right? You know the Word in that there is the Word is the critic. It criticizes me and it criticizes you and it changes our thought life. Now listen to me. The word discerner in Hebrews 4:12 means to criticize. You know what I do when I put the Word of God in my mind? It criticizes my wrong thought life. How many like criticism? Anybody here? I don't care for it, but I got news for you. You got a thought life that needs to be criticized. It just needs to be. And you know, did you ever try to criticize your thought life on your own? Won't work. Listen, you ever try to remove it? If you remove it out the front door of your thought life, it'll come in the back door. It'll just return. It'll keep coming back. And so God has given us the ability to replace those thought lives through those thoughts through His Word. Listen. Psalm 119. Thy word have I what? You ever notice what that word hid means? That word is a word which means to hoard, like I do chocolate. Literally, to have it in reserve so when you need it, it's there to use. Now, somebody said to me one time, everybody needs to meditate on scripture that deals with that battle you may have. And I agree with that, but I got news for you. I can throw whatever scriptures in my thought life, and those thought lives are going to have to back off. Because they cannot stand the Word of God. The devil cannot stand the Word of God, and the thought life cannot stand the Word of God if it's wrong thoughts. Do you ever deal with someone who's demon-possessed? I have on 5 different occasions that I can think of. 5 different ones. And we'll forget the sweet young lady who came into my office one day and just looked so sweet. And I began to deal with her, and I knew this girl was probably demon-possessed. You know what I did? I took my Bible, and I threw it on her lap. She got up and began to rip that Bible, and foam began to come out of her mouth. Whereas I scared, terrified, get the right words. Because I could see somebody, and she wanted to say, phone, she's spitting. Demon possession. Because demons don't like the Word of God. Hello, neither does your flesh. Love the Word of God. It hates it. It has to be, it will literally tear it apart. You can't think of 2 things at the same time. Did you know that? Everybody said, I got to think of 2 or 3 things. No, you can't think of 2 or 3 things at the same time. Only 1 at a time. And I got news for you. The replacement principle works because when you put God's word in meditation, out the door it goes. Now, hide the word. You know what our problem with Christians today? I by the way, don't say this to me, because I will get mad. When I get mad, I get vicious. Do not tell me you're too old to memorize Scripture. I won't hear it. You know why? Because God doesn't want to hear it. Because He's given you the blessed Holy Spirit, who is eternally the same, who can help you with those things and put those thoughts. How many wake up in the middle of the night besides me? Often. Right? That's because we're getting what? Old. And he's older than me, at least 15 years. No, he's not. He's older than me. You know what I found? I lay there and I try to go back sleep. Do you ever try to go back sleep? I just quote Scripture to myself. I love to memorize chapters and sections. I'm working on 30 or 40 new verses in the book Psalms that I just want to get. And that's fun. And after a while, I go to sleep. You know why my flesh said, put that guy to sleep? Hello? My flesh didn't want to hear that. Running through my thought life. I just go back to sleep. Try it sometime. I will tell you today that the only way to handle this thought life is realize you're in a spiritual battle, remove the hidden provisions of life, replace sinful thoughts with God's thoughts. God's thoughts. This book is full of God's thoughts. This is the Christian's hymn book. Him being the Lord Jesus Christ. Get those thoughts in our life. And then fourthly, as I close, this is getting biblical counseling from God. Now, I'm not opposed to counselors. I'm really not. But I want to tell you something. If the Christian will take the Word of God and do it right, we'd put counselors out of business, because God is the great counselor. And His Word. Realize you're in a spiritual battle. Remove all hidden provisions. Replace sinful thoughts with God's thoughts. Fourthly, renew yourself each day and every day. Look at 2 Corinthians 4. Turn there with me. 2 Corinthians 4. Look at verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but that though the outward man perish, the inward man is what? Renewed. Day by day. Now that word renewed is an interesting word. It has several meanings, but one of them is to make an exchange. Now you're made up of 3 parts, right? How many know what the 3 parts are? Somebody say if you know what 3 parts are. You said, I'm scared. You'll say it wrong, you'll be upset with it. Say it, somebody. Spirit, what? Who said body, soul, and spirit? Wrong. But thank you for trying. It's not body, soul, and spirit. It's spirit. That's the one that's to be at the top. Soul, that's your emotional makeup in your body. You know, sometimes those get out of order. To renew is to put the spirit in charge of everything. You know, there are times in my life I didn't want to get out of bed. Go to church. Whew. And you're a pastor? Yeah. I told my body one day, I'm going to church. I think you might be needing to come along. Because the Spirit needs to be in charge. Renew. I normally don't know about you, but I don't wake up real spiritual in the morning. Anyone here that says, boy, I just, whoa, man, I'm on. No, but I, through my walk with the Lord, He's at the top of the list. Spirit's in charge. Listen to me. As we close, I've said it about five times. Develop, listen to me. Those who have problems with worry, develop the attitude of praise. Develop the attitude of praise. Look, Psalm 118, verse 24 says what? This is a day the Lord made, and we, what? We will. Doesn't ask your opinion.
Yeah, but I don't feel like rejoicing.
Well, tell your flesh, go take a hike. You're going to rejoice. Is this the power of positive thinking? No, it's the power of God's thinking. Because He said so. Rejoice in the Lord. It's God's going to do something in our lives today if we'll let Him. Rejoice in the Lord! When you do that, and you start quoting scriptures, it's like pulling the pin on a hanger neg and throwing it wrong life, wrong thought life. And God grounds up all those prisoners, put them into captivity. I don't know where you are today on all this as we close, but there's not anybody in this room who doesn't have problems with his thought life. Just not anybody. But I'm wondering, as we close here this morning, I wonder if you got some folks here today that say, you know, jail keeper, yeah. Just always negative about life, bitter. Got some problems that we mentioned a few moments ago. Joy stealers. Did you ever have a person try to steal you? Just, you're doing great, somebody walks up and all of a sudden, they rain all over you. Anybody have that problem? Just start praying for them. And guess what? The rain clouds go away. And the Son of God breaks through. How about javelin throwers? Got some of those? You got some here today? I don't know what God is doing. Let's just stand for a moment and bow our heads and let God work in our hearts this morning.